Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So here's our assignment from yesterday. There is no cure for birth and death, save to enjoy the interval. In Zen, we hear, the only thing that is born and the only thing that dies is the ego. We know that the ego is an illusion, a conglomerate of processes that appear real but are not so. So the only thing that is born and that dies is an illusion of being separate from life, which does not die and is not born. This is a lot to grasp. Fortunately, we don't need to grasp this reality because we can experience it in any moment to which we are present. You are here and the ego is not. Identify with ego and presence, that which is not born and does not die is lost. Here, presence, life, now, is eternal, unborn, and undying. Today, grateful to have been born, enjoy this eternal interval. Record and listen.
May I make a little commercial?
Yes.
Before we start, I think people who are monthly donors receive the Thursday night group. Is that true from the monastery?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
So I think last night we had a really good conversation on this topic at the monastery that anybody who might want to, who's particularly interested in this topic, might want to listen in for.
Okay. I think, Sherry, there's a couple of days lag when that recording gets posted, so to note that it was November 9th and to watch out for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Sweeney. This is Christine.
Hello, Christine.
Hi, Christine.
Hi. Gosh, I just love the practice of remembering gratitude and just to be thankful for my life.
Yeah, for this interval.
Yeah, which is a long interval. This is like it. I mean, the born and the die doesn't take very long, but all this in the middle.
Yeah. And you know that what's fun about that is that when we're really present, it's even longer than when we're not present. So I'm fond of pointing out if we want to have a really long life, we want to be very, very present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think we all have those experiences of, wow, it's still today, wow. Or,
right.
You know, and the opposite, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Wasn't it just Christmas? Wasn't Christmas last month? You know,
when
we fall into that, we know, ooh, not here. We're not here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think I saw through, a bamboozle that said, last night when I was talking with my reflective listening person, a bamboozle that would say that I would call it the survival system, but that using those words, survival system, gave it a purpose in my life it actually needed to be there so I could survive childhood. But what I was questioning was that maybe not. It seems
truly not.
I never needed that. I could have survived without that. Actually, that present guidance is how we survive life. We just, you know, it's the intuition or it's our guidance.
Yeah, I think what you're closing in on, Christine, is that it's the ego survival system, right? The ego is what gets formed in order to survive. And was that necessary? No. Do we need to feel bad or guilty that we did that? No. But you're right. It, and certainly at this point in life, it is completely unnecessary. We will, you know, the old, without it, we will, it's not that we'll survive, we'll thrive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just interesting how I realized that, those were clumped together. I thought I needed them, but I didn't need, it is ego survival system. Otherwise, I was just a happy little child going along, you know, and stuff, this and that. And
We have to be taught to take things personally. To believe that you have to know, you have to figure things out. Because what gets put together, of course, is if you get approval, then you'll be loved and you'll continue to live. Because as strange as it seems, well, I mean, it's not strange in a lot of cases. A lot of little kids don't survive. And a lot of little kids don't survive because there's nobody interested in their survival, or quite the opposite. There are people interested in them not surviving. So it's not, you know, it's not a completely crazy thing that we concluded that pleasing people was a good way for us to survive. And then that system just, you know, spins further and further out there until we believe that it is what is causing us to be all right now. And it's exactly the opposite, right? Yeah.
Yes. And so currently when I'm with groups of people, I'm in school, so say a group of school people, I've just noticed so much lately how identified I can get, and I am just how you explained it. That's why, you know, I need to please them. I need to be right. I need to, you know, all that stuff comes up, and I know it's not necessary, and it is uncomfortable, and I'm not interested in being pulled around by it at all.
Yes.
So I'm in the process of noticing it and just letting it go as best I can, but it's pretty strong.
Well, the point that you're making is critical for all of us, because it really is true, isn't it? If you are the socially acceptable right person, all of that, you know, in quotes, people tend to like you. You get invited to parties. They want to give you good grades, right? I mean, pleasing people gets us a lot of stuff. Mostly what it gets us is enthrall to ego, because ego is going to be the conversation that tells us how to do that and what they think and what you need to do and how you need to, which is suffering, right? So what we are sorting out in awareness practice is how not to do any of that and still be a presence that other folks enjoy, appreciate, think well of, feel good around. So how can you come from center? So it's not, okay, I don't care about pleasing people. I'm just going to do everything to be obnoxious. No, that's just the other side of the duality, right? So we're trying to find that middle way of, I don't want to follow ego in any direction. I just want to be here. I'm here with people. Okay, then I want to be present in this moment with people. Right? That's what you're really learning in school, right?
Yes, it's true. Because I am present when I'm listening to the instructor and I'm interested in the subject and I'm listening and it's, wow, this is so great. I am present to that. And the workshop is, wow, with all these people and the interaction of what comes up for me and, all that.
Yeah. So the work is the same for all of us, or the practice is, all right, I'm right there with the instructor. I'm listening. I'm interested. Now here comes a human. Right? And so I don't need to slide into an ego identification. I can just stay right here. And I can even say things like, oh, gosh, I would love to talk. And I have an appointment I need to get to. right? We don't have to go into ego's way of navigating social situations. We don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I'll keep going.
All right, good. Let us know.
Okay.
Thanks, Christine.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Christine. You know, metaphorically speaking, what dropped in, right, Sherry, is that we always get a second chance at childhood, where
yes.
we get to experience what it's like to stick with the authenticity, that the intuition that Christine was talking about, and for it not to be about survival.
Yes, that's such
or
a
ego
good
survival.
Point. Yeah, that's such a good point. We get that second chance. It's not like, oops, blew it. Authenticity's gone. No. That's what waking up is all about, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems to be the mode of spiritual practice, that after we've survived, it reminds me of that story, I think it's a Nietzsche parable, right? The first year, the camel that slowly and sleepily accepts everything that you're being asked to do, and then you reach a stage where you rebel against it all, and then finally the innocence and sweetness arises, which is neither of those dimensions, but is spontaneous to life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at a point when we can really appreciate it. Because
yes.
when we don't experience ourselves as separate from life, we don't appreciate life in the same way that we appreciate it when we come to it from the suffering of believing
That's right.
ourselves to be separate.
Mm-hmm. Exactly yeah. so. Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ren from South Florida. How are you?
Very well. Hey, thank you, Ren. And you?
I'm great. I'm happy to be on, happy to be not in school today so I can join you guys live, which is a rare treat.
Well, good. Good to have you. What's going on?
Well, I keep coming back to the assignment that said, don't have an opinion. And that really shook me, like, wow, don't have an opinion. You know, all the time in college, I felt like doing a thesis and doing all your papers, you were crafting your opinion and you were getting your evidence from the text. And then
that's right.
there's just
that's true. That's true. That's what you're doing. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so you think, you know, okay, that's one thing, and then you just break through that to this thing where, well, why do I need an opinion? I don't need an opinion, and it's so beautiful.
It is, isn't it? It is. So the full quote that I think you're referring to is the don't seek after enlightenment, simply cease to cherish opinions, right? So
yeah.
we don't have to chase enlightenment in the way we were taught to chase knowledge in school. We just drop all of that, and here we are.
Yes, and just so appreciative for the process. And I do appreciate the process that I went through, you know, searching so
yeah.
hard to find my opinion and articulate it. And then just the beauty in being able to just drop it all and say, that's coming from ego, much of it, you know. I don't really need it. I don't need it.
Yes.
It's just, that's all.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yep. It's exactly what Christine was looking at, isn't it? And what Ashwini was talking about. You know, it's fine. We go off. We do all of that stuff. All the conditioning happens to us. We think we're ego. We suffer. We, you know, all of that we all go through. And then we get to the point of realizing, well, that's unnecessary. So there's nothing wrong with having done it. It's what we go through to get to the place of realizing that's really unnecessary. And when we realize it's unnecessary, we can drop it.
Yeah.
And we can really appreciate the whole thing.
And how much suffering there was at different parts, you know, of the way that the camel was. You know, there was suffering here, and then there was suffering in the rebelling. And then when you really get to that sweet spot, there's not a lot of suffering as long as you can stay in there, which is the thing.
That's right.
It's always the
that's
thing,
right.
But
yeah.
Anyway,
and well, Ren, that's really good. That's the deal, because so we get there, right? But life doesn't stop there. The interval is action packed, and so now here comes the next thing. And conditioning roars up and says, well, what are you going to, you need to figure this out. What are you going to do? How are you going to survive this? If you don't blah, blah,
yes.
blah, blah, blah. And here we are again with the choice of, do I really want to go down that road again and suffer over that? Or do I want to stick with, just drop it, stay here, trust this. Yeah, over and over and over and over. We're at that, well, not that same juncture, but a very similar looking one.
And I just love that, you know, because I've always been a person to, well, let me think on that. I need to think on that. And then I realize, no, I don't
no,
need
I
to
don't.
Think on that. And I just love it.
Yeah.
I'm suffering so much less by just saying,
yes.
no, I don't.
Yeah.
And
I'll
wonderful.
Just be here and breathe. Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm going to look around and see what the weather is doing. What are the trees up to today? How about the birds? I think I'll just be here.
Exactly.
It seems fine here. Yeah.
Yes.
That's it.
Right here.
Oh,
well, thank
right.
you so much.
Thank you, Ren. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ren. I just love that, the delight, right, Sherry? And something that dropped in for me during that conversation is when we get clear that we're on a different journey, right, the journey that
yeah.
I'm on is to wake up and be present, then our desire or confusion when we stop pleasing ego and experience what it does in order to continue to be the God in our lives, it becomes so much more, there's an acceptance to the journey because we don't want what ego is promising. And so,
it's easier to just go,
I'm not going in that direction because it leads me
yeah.
nowhere except suffering.
Yeah, and no hard feelings, right? It's just,
yeah.
oh, yeah, no, I don't want to go there. That's not the journey I'm
right.
on. So,
right.
I mean, it's a perfectly fine journey for anybody who wants to be on it, but I'm not doing that. I'm not interested in that. So,
mm-hmm.
no. Yeah.
Yeah.
Poof.
Yeah.
Big.
Here's our next caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Sarah from Iowa City.
Hi, who is this?
Sarah?
Ah, hi there.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Perfectly.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, I really appreciated yesterday's quote because it reminded me so much of the thing I think that's been most special about practice to me, and that is, you know, this realization that deepens over time that all the things that I've wanted most, the sense of safety and security and love itself, is sort of permanently affixed to presence and awareness,
mm-hmm.
and that the things that take me away from that are, well, it's one thing, really. It's ego, but it's very focused in the world of form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so the quote itself actually reminded me of a question that I had listening to the monastery talk, not from a week ago. So I guess it was November 2nd. And it was a conversation at the tail end. It was actually between you and Ashwini. And you said something that got my attention. And I sense like I need to understand this and don't fully understand it, which was that commitment is the means by which we experience life living us. I'm not saying it as eloquently as you did, but what it sort of made, you know, I sort of looking at commitment in my own life and the struggles and the ones I have, I think my commitments are probably, you know, they're near universal, like the things of eating the way I want, you know, my body would like me to eat and not procrastinating and exercising and all these things. And I watch during the day this sort of, you know, this constant rotation through them. So if I'm aware and say, so it comes up most often, I think just because of the amount of time I spend working and I'm a writer. So this is an area, you know, there's lots of opportunity for ego to step in all the time and kind of, you know, make a mess of the day. And what I notice is that when I'm in this place where it's not me doing the work, but awareness doing the work, and I feel this, I can feel it, and that sort of life energy, you know, I can sense it. Ego steps in and says, oh, this is really good. How about, wouldn't it be better if you
yep.
went and had a cup of coffee, and wouldn't that make it better? Now, here's the ridiculous part of it, is that I gave up caffeine. So I'm like, wait a minute, like there's not even, you know, if I were to get up and get the coffee, it's, I'd just be getting the flavor of it. It's decaf, you know? So, you know, so what it made me wonder was, like, is this what you were saying, that commitment is kind of the connection between, it's the union of awareness and form. It's like this way of saying, like, okay, form, we're going with awareness. And commitment is the way I know I'm on that path. Like, if I,
yes.
Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. And it's a big yes to all of it. So the quote, courage is the price life extracts for peace, however that went.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that process that you actually laid out when you first started talking, that what you've realized is everything you want exists in presence.
Right.
Right? That's probably not exactly how you said it, but essentially is that that's what you've noticed, right? The safety, the
love,
security, the
safety,
love,
and,
the
mm-hmm.
all those good things only exist in the present. And so what commitments do is to reinforce for ourselves that we know that and that we choose that.
Yeah.
Because because without
yeah.
that, so if you didn't have a commitment not to have caffeine or a commitment to eat in a way that is good for your body, it would be very easy for ego to come in and manipulate you. And pretty soon you're off down a path where you're believing that if you opened your own coffee place that you would have all of the, right? And we've all fallen
yeah.
for that kind of thing. So in keeping that commitment, it's keeping you close to what you know to be true.
Yeah.
Which is,
it
of
almost,
course, why ego hates it. Hates it.
Yeah, it feels almost like the battleground. Like, this is...
Yes.
It's like ego, I make the commitment. I don't even know that I make the commitment. You know, it's just that there is the commitment. It's, there's the awareness of it. I want to eat this way. I want to exercise. I want to do this thing. And then ego comes along and says, oh, those things are important to you. Let me mess with those. You know, like this
Precisely.
Is where I can get your attention. Yeah.
That's it. Exactly. And, you know, it takes us a long time to get it, that what you said. No. I want to make the commitment. The commitment is for me, because we, you know, ego is campaigning endlessly to, oh, I hate that. I don't want to do it. It's too hard. That's why I don't want to do awareness practice, because I have to keep commitments. And, you know, freedom is I get to do whatever I want. I get up in the morning and I just go with the flow.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
That's not freedom.
Yeah. And this is what I was so excited about, because I thought this is going to make it easier to keep my commitment, because I know this is
yes.
the path, right, to awareness.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So awareness and awareness. And what you said, it's like, I don't make the commitments. I don't. They just appear. It's
right.
just, oh,
right.
yes. And that's what we say. Oh, yes. We can add
yeah.
thank you if we want.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and there it is. And
yeah.
the path is, it's like our little feet are placed that much more firmly on the path.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, wonderful. Thanks for that.
Thank
and
you
I can't
so
wait
much.
To hear the next one. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Sarah. Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
We seem to have time for another caller, Sherry.
All right, let's try it.
Okay. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Monica calling.
Hello, Monica.
Hello. Yeah, I love these conversations, and I really love the first caller about this idea. I'm working on supporting myself at work and sort of work structures and things like that. And there is this whole way of, like, how you're supposed to be to fit in. And I don't like to do any of the things that that you're supposed to do to fit in. And so there's then I'm this person who doesn't do any of those things. But it was just kind of really nice to hear that just being present is another way to offer being, even if, like, it was that duality of I either do these things and be, you know, part of the crew. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or I don't do these things and I'm like this special person who doesn't do these things.
Yeah, it's and special meaning pain in the neck, right?
Exactly. And it's like I've been in this duality for so long, and to just hear like, oh, really, people do those things like throw potlucks and, you know, buy things for people that they don't need because they want to connect, right? So they want to be part of the gang. But just being present is really, I just like, I don't know, I'm sort of just blown away that there's just another option that I'm defensive about not being.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it puts me in this defensive mode. I have to, like,
yes.
justify why I don't want to participate in those things.
Well, yeah. And as you're saying, it's clear that ego then is the odd person out, is defensive, has to justify. It's an endless conversation, right?
Right.
Whereas just smiling at people and nodding and letting them know, I'm here, I see you, I actually care about you, I'm present to you, is what it's almost everybody wants or needs.
Right.
They don't
right.
actually need that shower gift, right? Although
right.
you can do that, you'll find it doesn't hurt a bit, right? Just doesn't hurt a bit to let people know that you care. And, you know, even, Monica, I think one of the big, you can tell me, big bonding activities in a work situation is gossip.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
well,
a lot
it's
of people,
venting.
Of course,
it's venting. That was another thing. Like, it's, for me, it's venting. Like, in my work environment, people are just, like, outraged at something that just happened, and then they want to relive it, and they want you to hear.
Oh,
you
gosh,
know?
Monica, last night we had a great conversation about that at the monastery. I don't know why everybody isn't at the monastery, really. We have these great conversations. But it was exactly that. And what the person was talking about was being in that situation and seeing victim, victimized, victimizer, right? And so here's the person who's perceived themselves as victimized. They're then going to find the nearest person and victimize them by
right,
yes,
having
spew,
to hear
spewing
it. Yep.
All, yep, spewing all over them. That person then feels victimized, and you can just see that it's just this train that gets started. And so here, a little, if you want to do something, you know, just stand there and nod, you know, full eye contact. Just nod and then say, oh, I know, and then go on to the next thing. And just watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I've practiced a lot with that. And but yesterday I was the venter, and I saw exactly what you just laid out. And I was like, wow, don't vent, like vent to the mentor or something. But like I vented, and then that person got to vent, like, she was victimized, and then she – anyway, there was so
yep.
much in that we don't
it's
have time tagged, to go into.
Isn't
but,
it?
Yeah, it
yeah,
was really
tagged.
And I really saw so much about it, about where – what was – you know, what was the whole inciting event for me and why I felt victimized. And that was on to, like, a whole process at work of – what makes me feel victimized at work. And so it's all good in the end, but I was definitely
oh, yeah.
like, I don't want to vent. I just don't want to do that. You never get it never feels good. You don't, nobody ever just sits there and goes, yeah, yeah, that sounds awful. It doesn't go that way. So it's just
right.
Adds
well,
to,
you know, Monica, the other thing, and I don't know if this would ever feel like something you could do at work, but is to vent the energy, not the content.
Hmm.
Which often looks like, so you and I get into a something or other, and I am really upset, really, really upset. And so I could go in one of two directions. Well, I could either yell at you and tell you what you've done wrong and how this is your fault and how upset I am, which is not going to help our relationship at all. Or I could own the whole thing. God, I get so upset. I kind of can't believe it. I mean, I'm going along, I'm perfectly fine, and the next minute I'm a complete insane person, and I'm screaming and yelling and carrying. Now, you don't even have to know anything about the content, and the odds of you taking it personally are zero, because I'm never mentioning you. All I'm doing is letting loose this energy, and you can be a witness, and then you can go on about your life, as I can. Just you could start a trend.
I will try that.
Okay, very good. And then you'll let me know.
I will.
Social experiment.
So I know, right?
Thanks, Monica.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ashwini.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Monica. And that brings us to the end of another great show, Sherry, and another week. So here's our Friday assignment. Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. Emily Dickinson said that love is all there is all we know of love. I think I read that right. It's the air we breathe. It is, as the saying goes, the water we swim in. But that's often not our experience. In fact, quite the opposite. That Mr. Rumi cautions it is not our task to seek for love hints at the universal nature of that search. We don't feel it surrounding us, filling us, animating us, but it is. Awareness practice is a process of finding all the barriers built up in us against love and assisting us to accept, embrace, and let them go. Today, remembering that what we do is what we have, practice loving as if your life depends on it, which it does. Record and listen.
Hmm. As if your life depends on it. Love as if your life depends on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line, huh?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Winnie. Take care.
I'll talk to you on Monday.
Everybody. Yeah. Treasure yourselves and go happy.